Thank you for calling the Dial a Story hotline. This is The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen. At the same time making the same gestures as before, and talking of the designs and colors which were not there. I am certainly not stupid, thought the messenger. It must be that I am not fit for my good and profitable office. That is very odd. However, no one can know anything about this. And accordingly, he praised the stuff he could not see, and declared that he was delighted with both colors and patterns. Indeed, please your imperial majesty, said he to his sovereign when he returned, the cloth which the weavers are preparing is extraordinarily magnificent. The whole city was talking of the splendid cloth which the emperor had ordered to be woven at his own expense, and now the emperor himself wished to see the costly manufacture while it was still in the loom. Accompanied by select numbers of officers of the court, among whom were the two honest men who had already admired the cloth, he went to the crafty impostors, who, as soon as they were aware of the emperor's approach, went on working more diligently than ever, although they still did not pass a single thread through the looms. Is not the work absolutely magnificent? Said the two officers of the crown already mentioned. If your majesty will only please to look at it, what a splendid design, what gracious colors! And at the same time they pointed to the empty frames, for they imagined that everyone else could see this exquisite piece of workmanship. How is this? Said the emperor to himself. I can see nothing. This is indeed a terrible affair. Am I a simpleton, or am I unfit to be emperor? What is the worst thing that could happen? Oh, the cloth is charming, he said aloud. It has my complete approval. And he smiled most graciously and looked closely at the empty looms, for on no account would he say that he could not see two of the officers of his court had praised so much. All his retinue now strained his eyes, hoping to discover something on the looms, but they could see no more than the others. Nonetheless, they all exclaimed, "Oh, how beautiful!" and advised his majesty to have some new clothes made from such splendid material for his approaching procession. Magnificent, charming, excellent, resounded on all sides, and everyone was uncommonly gay. The emperor shared in the general satisfaction and presented the impostors with the order of knighthood to be worn on their buttonholes and the title of gentlemen weavers. The rogues sat up the whole of the night before the day of which the procession was to take place and had 16 lights burning so that everyone might see how anxious they were to finish the emperor's new suit. They pretended to roll the cloth off the looms, cut the air with their scissors, and sew with needles without a single thread in them. See, they cried at last, the emperor's new clothes are ready. And now the emperor, with all the grandees of his court, came to the weavers, and the rogues raised their arm in holding something aloft, saying, here you are, majesty, trousers, here is a scarf, here is a mantle. The whole suit is as light as a cobweb. One might fancy one has nothing at all on when dressed in it. That, however, is the great virtue of this delicate cloth. Yes, indeed, said all the courtiers, although not one of them could see anything exquisite. If your imperial majesty would be graciously pleased to take off his clothes, we will fit you on the new suit in front of this looking-glass. The emperor was accordingly undressed, and the rogues pretended to array him in his new suit, the emperor turning around from side to side before the looking-glass. How splendid his majesty looks in his new clothes, and how well they fit, everyone cried out. What a design! What colors! These are indeed royal robes! The canopy, which is to be borne over you, majesty, in the procession, is waiting, announced the chief master of the ceremonies. I am quite ready, answered the emperor. Do my new clothes fit well? He asked, turning himself round and round again before the glass, in order that he might appear to be examining his handsome suit. The lords of the bedchamber, who were to carry his majesty's train, felt about on the ground, as if they were lifting up the ends of his mantle and pretending to be carrying something, for they would by no means betray anything like simplicity or unfitness for their office. So now the emperor walked under his high canopy in the midst of the procession through the streets of his capital, and all the people standing by and those at the windows cried out, "Oh, how beautiful are our emperor's new clothes! What magnificent train there is to the mantle, and how graceful the scarf hangs!" In short, no one would allow that they could not see these much-admired clothes, because in doing so, he would have declared himself either a simpleton or unfit. Certainly none of the emperor's various suits had ever made such a great impression as these invisible ones. "But the emperor has nothing on at all," said a little child. "Listen to the voice of innocence," exclaimed his father, and what the child had said was a whisper from one to another. "But he has nothing on at all," at last cried all the people. The emperor was vexed, for he knew that the people were right, but he thought the procession must go on now. The lords of the bedchamber took greater pains than ever to appear holding up a train, although in reality there was no train to hold. That was The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen. For previous Dial stories, please visit the archives at KirkwoodPublicLibrary.org.